Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 89 at 21,271. Incredible. It's a record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. This was a strange day on Wall Street, folks. But whenever the Dow Jones Industrial Average hits a record high close, we have a celebration here at the Money Radio Megaplex in beautiful uptown Scottsdale. Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. I'm in the talk studio. They are in the control room. A glass partition separates us. It's kind of like going to the zoo. I don't know. You decide which side is watching which side. All right, we've got Randy, we have Wes, Renee, James, wearing the Green Bay jersey. I still don't get that. All right, who else? Doreen, thank you for joining us. Where's the sales team? Oh, Friday afternoon, sure, of course, they're gone. Nobody's seen them since lunch, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what about some of the sports guys? We are now sharing studios with a sister station, 1580 AM, The Fanatic. Check it out if you haven't yet, The Fanatic. Where's everybody? Sure, it's Friday. They're out at the sports bars. Okay, got it. So, we have a small crew today, I see. Oh, Jason Stansel joining us from the closing bell. He's hanging around. Good to see you, Jason. Doreen is lighting candles as I speak. The staff lights their candles in preparation for a candlelight procession. Doreen brings in these lovely lavender candles, and the place just smells fragrant and aromatic after one of these celebrations. The Money Radio Symphonic Orchestra plays the celebratory theme. And if everybody's ready, start the procession. There they go. Randy leading the way today. Randy is doing what passes for a precision march. And they head down the hallway to the Money Radio Bistro, also known as the Break Room, there today. They will find a lovely selection of pecan sandies, lemon wedge cookies, and Oreos. And, of course, in the fridge, milk. Milk and cookies, that's how we celebrate. Dow Industrial's up 89 at 21,271. S&P 500 down 2 at 2431. And the NASDAQ Composite down 113 at 6,207. Wow, that's painful. Russell 2000, small and mid caps, up 6 at 1421. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 1 basis point at 2.2%. And oil up 26 cents at $45.90 a barrel. Gold down $11.20. At $1,267.40 an ounce. Dow Industrials, S&P 500, and NASDAQ Composite all hit intraday record highs earlier in the session. Only the Dow managed to hold on for a record high close. Tech stocks have been on a roll recently, not today. Some of the biggest names tumbled. Alphabet dropped about 3.5%. Apple down 4%, biggest one-day loss in more than a year. Microsoft lost 2.2%. Facebook down 3.3%. The strangest trade, however, was Amazon. Over a period of about 5 seconds this morning, the stock price went from 960 to 930, back to 953, down to 927, then traded just over 959. Looks like some kind of a fat finger flash crash. Amazon finished the day down 3.1%. Goldman issued a report saying the big five mega tech stocks have added about $600 billion in market cap since the start of the year. In Goldman's view, the sector has gotten ridiculously crowded. Bank of America issued a report saying the tech sector is the most overweight it has ever been. Now, we all know that trees don't grow to the stars and stocks don't trade in a straight line. It's a rotation today, and it is out of tech into some of the other sectors. We'll look for confirmation on Monday. Meanwhile, the VIX, the volatility index, started the session in single-digit territory, finished just above 10, still very, very complacent. Next week brings another Federal Reserve FOMC policy meeting. They're expected to raise rates another 25 basis points. Today, a group of economists published a letter urging the Fed to consider a monumental change in policy, raising its target for inflation above the current 2%. The Bank of England, Bank of Japan, and Swiss National Bank also meet next week. The Federal Reserve has been communicating that it will raise interest rates, and so that is what they will almost certainly do. Anything else would be a shock to the markets, and the Fed does not like surprises, not this Fed. Absent a shocker, we'll watch the Fed for signs of a softer or more dovish stance on future rate hikes and maybe even lower projections for inflation and economic growth. In the follow-up to Super Thursday, President Trump today denied accusations by former FBI Director James Comey that he tried to block an investigation into a former national security advisor, adding that he was willing to give his version of events under oath. Asked by a reporter if he had told Comey to drop a FBI investigation into former top aide Michael Flynn, Trump said, "I didn't say that." Last month, Trump tweeted that there might be tapes of the conversations. Time will tell. Meanwhile, oxygen continues to leak out of Washington, D.C. at a rapid rate, and this means problems for the legislative agenda. Still unclear whether Republicans will ever be able to pass a replacement for Obamacare, but whatever happens on the legislative front, there are big problems developing in the insurance markets as we speak. Companies pulling out, leaving some parts of the country unserved, or asking for large increases in premiums. The problem is the uncertainty, especially the failure to make clear whether crucial subsidies will be maintained. In North Carolina, for example, Blue Cross Blue Shield has filed for a 23% rise in premiums, but declared that it would have asked for only 9% if it were sure that cost-sharing subsidies would continue. Meanwhile, on the international front, Trump blasted Qatar of being a funder of terror at a very high level and demanding that it cut off that money flow to rejoin the circle of responsible nations. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson called for calm in the standoff, urging an end to a blockade. Qatar is in talks with Iran and Turkey to secure food and water supplies amid concerns of possible shortages 2 days after its biggest suppliers, the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, cut trade and diplomatic ties with the import-dependent country. And remember, there is a U.S. air base in Qatar, one of the biggest in the region, over 8,000 U.S. military, plus many more coalition forces. But you look at all this and you say, hey, stocks are up, so how bad can it be? And it's true that while Wall Street has lost some of its initial enthusiasm for Trumponomics, the dollar is back down to pre-election levels. Investors and businesses don't seem to be pricing in the turmoil. Now, the good news is that the global economy keeps expanding as corporate profits rise and the recovery continues, even as the Fed normalizes rates. The economy has the potential to grow, maybe even for several more years before its next cyclical stumble. How this all plays out, I do not know. You do not know. The pundits do not know. But time is running out for the bold legislative moves Trump promised. Healthcare reform, tax reform, infrastructure investment, deregulation. The economic agenda might still move forward, but right now it isn't. And one thing I think I know is that Wall Street is not known for its patience. Wall Street has been rolling along in a buy-the-dip mentality, but what happens when we get a day where liquidity doesn't fill the void and nobody buys the dip? Well, the other big Super Thursday news was the election in the UK. Theresa May's Conservative Party did not win a majority. Between now and Tuesday, someone will have to create a coalition, either May and the Tories or Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party. Likely, May will prevail in a very weakened state. Even if she holds power, the battles are just beginning. Foes include Tory dissidents who want her out now, a born-again Labour opposition that will confront her at every turn, anti-European hardliners who will demand she hew to the toughest possible line, and the 27 Euro Union leaders who will seek to make Brexit as painful as possible. Now, this is largely a British problem, not a global problem. The pound dropped today, biggest drop in 8 months. Beyond that, market reaction was muted. The British economy has been sluggish, worst performer among the G7. This election setback won't help, and again, markets are not known for patience. As an aside, note that Labour did worse in the seat results than predicted, but better in popular vote, getting 40.1% versus 42.3% for the Tories. But in general, the pollsters have as much egg on their faces as the Tories do. Brazilian President Michel Temer, who pushed back strongly against attempts to bring him down over corruption allegations, appears set to win a victory in court with the power to strip him of his office. The Supreme Electoral Tribunal, considering charges that Temer's election in 2014 should be annulled because of his role of corrupt money, deeply split. After deliberating since Tuesday, the lead judge on the case voted to sack the president. He laid out a damning portrait of systemic undeclared donations and bribes from big Brazilian corporations that he said had fatally undermined the election results in Latin America's biggest country. But when the other six judges on the panel began voting in turn, it became clear that the outcome may go the other way. The next three to vote after decided in favor of Temer. The session was expected to continue late into the evening. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 89 at a record high close, 21,271. S&P 500 down 2 at 2431. NASDAQ down 113 at 6,207. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com.